We'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, August 15th at 8:46 on the clock, and we will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Byers, and Keeman. Consent agenda. One is a general agenda. Two is approved minutes of meeting held August 1st, 2018. Three is approve all claims through August 15, 2018 in the amount of $626,909.21. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approved district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of July 2018. Entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers and seconded by Thiemann. Comments? We don't have anything on there for Thiemann?
Nope.
Pretty slim pickings.
Yeah.
On this one.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to add something.
Next time, you have to wait now. 5-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. I think everybody, again, that's out there will be on the regular board item. Committee reports. Building, ground, winter lights. Dave?
Good morning. I just had a few items. This time, first one was we had a winter lights committee meeting and decided that the LED lights that are on the building, they're not burning out, but they're dimming out. So we voted to go ahead and change all of the lights on the building and change all the zip ties that hold the wires to the building. This will probably take place in October, so there will be a bucket truck and a crane to get to the tallest part of the building this fall. We'll probably wait. It's usually around October, middle of October to end of October when we would do this. The other thing was at the detention center on Sunday, August the 5th, the generator is always set up to run and exercise on Sunday mornings. When it started up this Sunday, it caused a large surge to go into the detention center. I have a list of things that went out. We had a upright freezer in the kitchen. Is not working. A clothes dryer did get repaired. Garage door openers. There was transformers on those that went out. Those are repaired. Hot water heater transformer went out and it got repaired. The solenoids in the toilets, we weren't even aware of this. There's a small solenoid that controls that pressured water. That went out in the west half of the building, so they had to transfer some inmates that were all on the west side to different locations. Circulating pump for hot water heater went out. That needs replaced. There's a little converter box for a fax machine that got fried, and it smoked so bad it caused the fire alarm to go off, so fire trucks were there early on Sunday morning. Anyway, we called Omaha Track Equipment. They were there Monday, July the 30th, to do a full load test on that, and everything seemed okay. So then this happened August 5th, so we were concerned. We said, you know, is everything okay with this? I stood with him as he tested everything, and the voltage and everything was okay. He believed it was the voltage regulator was not working, so he did replace the voltage regulator. But as of now, it looks like we're going to turn this all into insurance, and there's still some things that are not repaired yet. I know the fax machine, I think we're going to kind of wait. The phone system is getting so close to getting installed. We'll probably just leave that the way it is until we get the new system in for that. Then the last thing would be is on the agenda for a proposal from Skyline Roofing. So we'll talk about that in a little bit.
But most things from the electrical issue are fixed. You said something about the hot water heater wasn't though yet, or that is? Or
the hot water heater is, yes.
Okay.
Dave, how long can you have latent damage that starts popping up from voltage spikes?
You know, I've always heard that they say when you have lightning and stuff, it could be up to 6 months later when things go out.
Can we wait on something like that for a claim to see if anything else pops up?
It would be nice to bring that up to the attention of the insurance that we might have things still going out later on. Because I know a lot of things took a hit, but it was just the power strip. We replaced several of those on some computers and other items at their desk. And otherwise, it seemed like it was everything with the motor was what got hit. So, but yeah, you don't know if, you know, a month from now or 4 months from now, if computers start going out, if that most likely would be the case of that power surge.
Well, you can have a conversation with them when they're here and let them know that we're worried about that happening and making sure we have coverage.
Okay.
Have they been
need
down?
Need me to visit with them, I will.
Have the insurance company been down?
No. Okay. I have not. I know I've been talking to Dawn, and she's compiled a list also of things, and so they're aware of it.
But well, and item, but I haven't. But we also talked about at committee meetings to make sure that, you know, if we had to transport prisoners because of this, or
right.
What if we had to pay fees outside holds or anything like that, or the transportation and the time, and make sure you include all that in there also, because that we wouldn't have had to do otherwise if this one to happen.
Right.
Well, in the old days, part of the punishment was cold showers, not hot showers. So here, you know, we're taking awfully good care of them.
I told them this is when I submitted the first list of stuff. I said, this is what we know as of right now. And I knew that we'd be having more items. So I'll give them a call, too.
Sometimes you can just ask them to send you an email or something that the claim will remain open, you know. Mm-hmm. For 6 months, whatever you request, and then review it then.
That's all I have.
But it's up and running over there.
It is, yeah. This week.
This week?
Yes.
Hey, the winter lights, those are all privately funded also?
They are, yes, through donations, yes. And those LED bulbs have really worked well for us. We used to always have to replace so many of them, and this year we can, you know, there might be a few out, and we'll just leave those, but they do, they'll just get yellower with time, and so whenever we would replace them, you can really tell the difference, so it's time to go ahead and just replace all of them at once.
They're going to replace all of them
all
then?
All of them, yes.
Wow.
They do a good job. Over the years, Thornburg has really worked on that like crazy.
Yep. Him and Sean Van Lanningham.
Yeah.
Done a good job.
He brings his crane, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Anything else for billing grounds? Equalization, I think, will be up later with that. Finance, insurance.
Myron, the large claims. Gage County Maps, Community-Based Juvenile Services, $30,248.02. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $28,227.26. Cather and Sons, Asphalt Materials, $11,334. Sat Brothers Fuel, $17,936.18. Out of Road and Bridge Sinking, M.E. Collins Contracting Incorporated, for Odell North Project C-34-1092, $128,130.02.
Gaydon, on that Odell North Bridge, is that all just our cost, or don't we have to pay for that and then the state reimburses us for that, or do you know what part of this is or what?
When the projects are all done, we got to turn it in.
So this is just partial payment. That's my question, I guess.
Yes, this is partial payment on it. When all the projects are completed, we've got to submit another letter to the state, and we get another 30% for the projects to pay out to the other two counties and Gage County for the projects.
So this isn't all of, I thought that contract was a little higher. This isn't the whole
payment, because they hold back some retainage on it also.
I think the total project's around 200,000.
Yeah, 193 or
right
1 or something. Yeah.
Right, 200.
And stuff, so. Okay. And then what do you have on the maps, Roger?
That's basically a grant being paid out to the, on the project.
Yep. On the project,
it's
yeah.
It's just an in and out.
Yep. Yep. Anything else for finance? Otherwise, the budget we do have later on here and stuff. So I don't think we have. There will be the employee insurance meeting here on Friday.
Friday.
Is that scheduled for Friday?
Friday.
And everything.
11 to 1.
Yep. 11 to 1.
And they can come and go. It's not a mandatory meeting. If you have issues, they'll be there to, and you can have lunch if you want.
They'll have lunch and give a presentation and as much as anything, be there to ask questions because yep.
Yep. Because there's not answer really questions. Any changes.
Yep. Human resource employee relations.
Nothing.
Law enforcement emergency management.
Well, Gus has been gone for so long, and we haven't heard his voice, so I think probably Gus needs to step up and speak as to what he's been up to and what he's got going on.
And be sure to identify yourself.
Yeah,
new guy.
Yeah, it's always good to be gone, but you really never are because the cell phones are always there, and obviously it sounded like we had a real good time Sunday. One thing, I know we have one, we just found out we got one computer fried as well, so we'll have to get that on the list as we get further down the road here. But did you touch base on the grading or anything around it Monday, the water's coming in and going into that?
I have not yet.
Okay. We just have the way the grading's set up over there. It comes down and goes on the concrete and goes in the garage doors. So at some point in time, maybe we can get Galen's guys, if they have any free time, to redo that a little bit, so it kicks it up further into the an alleyway or something, because that's a little bit of a problem, I guess.
What's going on?
When it rains, it comes down, goes to the bus stop in the south garage door.
Okay, not in the jail.
No.
That just ties into with the property to the back side when we grade that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, would you be able to maybe touch base with Galen today? You and I looked at that a little bit and just see, maybe on a wet day when the dirt crew can't do something else, maybe that would work. Here while everything's soft to do some peeling and just make a swale. It looks like we can swale it just to the east and shoot it north and south, I think.
That block does slope quite a bit, so all the water runs down the alley. Now that the house isn't there anymore, it's running on. I think once we get rock down, it would slow that water running. There's a lot of water that runs down that alley.
Is that considered a waterway? Do we need to touch base with Corps of Engineers? Or?
Wouldn't doubt it.
Not even funny, Lytle.
Water to the U.S.
All right. The other thing in the budget, which I don't know if much board looked at here lately since I prepared it, I added a new line, 2-2555, public safety. We put that in there. I think I put like $12,500 into that to cover some of the private security upstairs. Tell my deputy comes back. Today I found out that she's going to be coming back for a while. She's pushing hard as she can to get, we got her over here now doing light duty and doing stuff for us desk wise, but I don't know when the doctor's going to give her 100% release on it, and I can't put her in uniform up there until then. So that dollar amount is going to probably change. I don't know, even tell you how much it's going to be. But it's cheaper to have those folks than pay somebody else for my office time and a half. So I guess just be aware of that. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We're hoping for the end of the month, but I'm sure they'll put them on light duty when she's in uniform and can't do anything anyway. So that might change there.
Sheriff, is it cheaper to have hired security than your people at regular time?
Yes. Oh, yes, because our people would be at time and a half.
Does it make sense to just keep somebody on the security up, the security company up there then?
You mean long haul?
Instead of having a deputy?
Well, the problem is, we researched that when we started doing this project with it. It's kind of been a gray area. The courts have kind of been looking at the fact, some way other than law enforcement, can they detain someone if there's a problem? And there is a reason why a lot of places aren't doing nothing, but they're doing a lot of time retired cops, but they're not putting just security there by themselves because they can't detain you then if something comes up. And we've been having our share of detainees up there for things we're having to deal with. So it was a blend for us to have one deputy there and then that person there. That works out okay. If something happens, they can always yell at them in court to come out.
Because you still have your full-time people up there as well.
That's correct. Yeah. The deputy got injured, one of the two that were full-time up there, her and Sergeant Davidson. So I guess just be aware of that. Well, I don't know how long it's going to take. We'll see. I'm going to review that training again, too, because it's not worth this, I don't think. I don't know. We'll have to see. Beyond that, I can't really think of anything else pressing. Like Grace, I was gone for a few days.
and come back and try and get cut off on some things, but I think that was a major issue that comes to mind. So,
any word on your lights?
Well,
I believe those did get installed yesterday.
Well, I don't know why they did that. I was going to talk to you about that today. They come in and did a quick fix to get them by. Well, the problem is they didn't hook up the night lights as well. There's several lights within one, and so the cell block will be completely pitch black at night. So what I told staff to do is I said if we need to use them, last resort, we can put them on mattresses outside at nighttime in the alleyway so we can see them on head counts. Then during the day, they might be able to use those. But they're not the actual lights we need. It was a quick fix. It came in, got us by, but it's...
Do you know when those will be? I mean, this is...
They are having months? Heck of a time. I've been on them down there at Echo, and they... I had two companies even get back to me even to give me any quotes on stuff. So it's just tough, I guess, to... It's a very specialized light, and they keep working on it for me. I just talked to him here before I left, and I'll call again today and see where we're at on it, because we really do need those cells. So... Yep. Anything else?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Anything else for law enforcement or emergency management, Lisa? Do you have anything?
Somebody's an eager beaver today.
What?
Somebody's an eager beaver today.
What?
Oh. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just to give you an update on the tire amnesty, though, first truck was there at 6 o'clock this morning, and so I have two trucks stuck already, so we'll address that. But anyway, so we're looking for an interesting day, I think. So, but going to emergency management side, the committee did review some issues with the Wymore radios that they have. They have old equipment. They're having some problems with it. Chief Lang is here. Also, Carlo is here. So they're addressing some issues down there, and we'll continue to research that for them and assist them how we can. We did go out and do radio checks with four different kinds of radios in the community and down there in that side, and all of them did hit the South Tower. It's a matter of what Wymore is really dealing with, and I think John can allude, him and I both attended those meetings, is that their radios are over 18 to 20 years old and don't have the wattage that they need, and so they'll be addressing some of that. So if you guys have anything else to add on that, I'm not sure, but
yeah. There's more a matter of money, financing, than it is getting it done.
I do believe that is correct. So, and obviously the radio systems that they're looking at as they priced the Moto Turbos compared to the P25 compliance radios, it's about one third the cost. And so before my time, you guys had, you know, set up, you know, the compliance issues with the P25 compliance. And so that's something that, as we move forward, you know, the consistency with all fire departments and remembering what you do for one fire department has to stay consistent with whatever we do with other districts. So, but yeah, there's some, you know, they're working on some grants, that possibility of some grants maybe that would help them buy and purchase radios, but not sure how far that will go.
What is the P25 compliance? I mean, we've talked about P25 mm-hmm. radios, but I really don't know what it.
So yours, as compliancy comes along, it has to do with the requirements that FEMA puts in place as far as the radio frequencies that you can use. Also, the wattage, I believe, has effect. If you look up FEMA, you'll see that P25. I think it's now P29 compliancy, mm-hmm. But I think your minutes date back to the compliancy of the P25s and when you were looking at fire districts using a specific kind of radio, you know, to go with our repeaters that we have spread out throughout all the towers. That's where we had to put those kinds of repeaters in that were P25 compliant. If they go to the Moto Turbo, that's a whole separate type of repeater, you know, so that's always raises some issues of concerns too, as our, but technology from the time that you set up, you know, changes too.
Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, haven't they already purchased the turbo radios?
They have purchased, their police department has purchased.
Right. Not all of them, but
no,
some of them?
No. I think, as I understand the needs of the fire district and also the EMS side, they were looking at, weren't they, John, 18 to 26 for fire side and EMS side. 18 maybe, and then plus the repeaters.
Weimar Fire was 16 for Blue Springs Fire and 18 portables for Weimar EMS.
And those are portables, and they would need to replace those mobiles in their, you know, trucks and then have a repeater that works with that particular system, either on the fire or on the water tower. But we did take readings from 15 different points within the southern part of Gage County since July 3rd, and then we went out on last Thursday and off of four different radios, and we're hitting the south tower. But to keep the people in the southern part of Gage County, specifically in the Barnston and Liberty area, we have that redundancy over in the Odell area, which we called Southwest Fire. So temporarily, we moved Southwest Fire over to Barnston underneath the Barnston Tower in that hut. And so now we're asking them to see if they can program in that frequency to see if they're getting some coverage, because Barnston and Liberty have always been a challenge with the topography of the ground, and especially Liberty. But yet, when we were in that area doing the radio tests, we hit it on all four radios. So those aren't all new radios by any means. So again, but
those are all P25 also?
No.
The three handhelds you carried were not?
No. So we used one old Kenwood that was purchased, but it has not been used much. You know, it's been in emergency management's inventory, but again, it's not one that goes out in the rain. It's not one that goes, you know, on site and used a whole lot. New, fairly decent battery in it. And it keyed up. Actually, we could hear it better on that one than we could any others. And the mobile that we used was in the trucks. So, but yeah. So, as far as on the other side of emergency management, we're doing exercises. I was at conference at the State Department of Ag's conference last week. They're keying right now on some of the avian flu and the Newcastle disease, and also hoof and mouth. And so as you do exercises, the need to exercise statewide, and that was a compliancy that was needed by NEMA. We did also receive an additional $5,184 from the FEMA grant. So we were able to go back and recapture some of that funding that originally we had lost a little of that because of when you didn't have an emergency manager, but they did grant the $5,100. So just to address the 911 outage that we had last week on Thursday, that was district-wide as far as southeastern Nebraska-wide, and that was an issue where, again, the 14 counties, Cass County rolls over into Gage County for the calls. Gage County's rolls into Cass County. So as you remember in media, I know helped us get that word out. They had to, the complete 911 system was down, and Public Commission Service was notified, assisted with trying to get that up and going. That ended up being something that was Windstream driven, and so they're addressing that. Those issues with the Public Service Commission now. So on the side of zoning, last night we had our hearing, so we had no one in attendance to hear the comprehensive plan. We did go back and address a few of the concerns or the goals through discussion, but chose not to change anything. So as soon as Don lets us know, we're ready to recommend. So when you get your hearing dates, we're now complete. So that's all I have.
I heard you had a huge crowd here for the hearing.
We did. We had
two or three.
Plus my seven. So, yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's done. That's all I have.
Never know.
They might come. They were a little worried. There was lots of traffic parked around the courthouse, so they were worried when they came in, but pleasantly surprised. Okay.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah.
Myron. I do have something more for Gus. Gus, you got a question for you. The discussion on Wymore reminded me. Since you weren't here Monday, we didn't get to have this discussion, or you didn't get to put your 2 cents in. But as Mark was talking on Monday morning, he stated that the Sheriff's Department has purchased or has 10 of these turbo, Kenwood turbo radios that Wymore had borrowed. Is that, do we have those, or what's
that I'm aware of? Not less as the few spare we have, the ones we use, they loan to them, the regular P25s, but we have no turbos. I know he was putting a grand in for it.
Was I mistaken, or wasn't that what Mark said?
Their Motorolas are what they are. They're the turbo Motorolas, but he stated that that there was some that the sheriff's office that they had borrowed, but.
Maybe they were the P25 compliant.
Oh, I bet you on it might be the ones we got some on a grant through the I think we had a forum. We got the scaled down version through the task force with the U.S. Marshals, and that was one thing we put in for them. We got those four for our when we were doing our stings and task force stuff, whatever, with those guys. So that might have been the four they're talking about. Those are real small ones.
So those are turbos too, then?
Yeah, I think that's what they call them, turbo.
So.
Yeah.
You realize that if and when these towers go digital, them are all going to have to be, the expense of replacing them is going to have to happen.
The turbos?
Yeah.
Because they're, I don't know, because their Celine's gone to all of them. They just put a whole new system over here at
Anderson.
If I had my way, that we would have gone before these other ones, I'll tell you that, because
it wasn't available when we did. When
Mark
we
and Chief,
system.
Now Mark and Chief were talking across county inside and had absolutely no problem. And I can't say that about these P25s. Mm-hmm. Very disappointing. So, but that's probably the four we have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
U.S. Marshals use this Moto Turbo.
I'm guessing they must, because that's the system that everybody got onto when they do the task force. So now it might be their main frequencies, but they all get this system. So when they're out doing their task force business, they can communicate with one another.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it, since the federal government's mandating or almost mandating that everybody goes to P25 compliant.
Yeah, and the P25 might work someday, but they're not putting an extra tower down here, which we're supposed to have and we should have been having, would make a difference, because we just cannot talk inside buildings and go out. And that's that thing's very disappointing. I asked the Motorola guy, I said, what do you buy those back for? I want to go to a cheaper system, go to turbos, or I think they said, I talked to the sheriff over in Jefferson County, he said $700 for mobile, and I think the whole system for us would be $10,000 for everything versus what we spent before. Mm-hmm. But it's after the fact, and so you do what you got to do. So
well, this stuff just came. This equipment has just come
it's
out.
It's fairly new.
In the last
yeah.
That's year right. or so.
Yeah. Yeah. So
unfortunately,
is right. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Gus. All right, Myron, we're done with
this. I was looking at the clock. We have a timed event at 9:15, and it's 9:14 on the clock, so we're going to wait just a...
It won't take me long, Myron.
You can read the minutes. We're going to have some more discussion.
Go ahead with Roden Bridge if you want to. Well, no, now it's 9:15. You're
all right, all right.
Sorry. We have a timed event at 9:15 on the clock to open and entertain a motion to open and accept... Well, to open and accept, reject, or award bids on 6 culvert projects, but entertain a motion to close bids on the 6 culvert projects at 9:15 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor. So do we have some bids?
Where are some bids?
Kaden, well, they're open. Do you just want to talk a little bit about what these are here, too, or whatever?
Well, you got your bid tally sheet.
These are on our 1 and 6 year, yeah. And
these are culvert projects that are on our 1 year plan. They replace small. Bridges, all of them. I take that back. There's one or two that do replace a larger corrugated metal pipe, but they are on the 1 year project. plans for all, every one of them.
And on the on our agenda, it lists which each township they are at and what section number they're at by at or whatever. So.
Galen, and the these bids here are for all six, right? One, all six. Okay. All right. I'll start out with Midwest Service and Sales Company out of Schuyler, Nebraska. Total for project, $175,805.38. Ace Eaton Metals, Ace Irrigation Manufacturing Company. Total for project, $155,199.70. Culverts Incorporated, Jefferson City, Missouri. Total for project, $149,655.50. Contact Engineered Solutions, Lincoln, Nebraska. Total for project, $180,721. Mm-hmm. As in the past, as of what we've done before, Myron, I'd like to turn these over to Galen, the Roads Department, have him review them. And make a recommendation before the end of our meeting.
Galen. Wait for his recommendation. Back to our last committee report, Road and Bridge, then. Take as much time as you want.
You're working the devil out of here, Myron. Okay. Well, we already covered that. Open bids on six culvert projects. Dirt crew worked on shouldering on Hickory Road. There's some ditches that were in there, and I think those are all reseeded and filled in. Bridge crew worked on south of Claytonia, installing that 6x6 angle iron on that Claytonia bridge. Odell North, they were backfilling it was backfilled Sunday already, and compacted the dirt over top of the culvert project. I don't know where we're at. It doesn't make any difference. Rain probably held that up a little bit again, but I think basically the compaction has to be down the top, and then it'd be up to the county to put in the asphalt and finish it up, weather permitting, you know, maybe next week. We'll see. Also, with Adams Northwest Bridge, the deck's poured, and they're backfilling the dirt on that one. Galen said that's progressing along real good, so they're doing well on that one. Hickory Road, the approach to the railroad tracks, approaches to the railroad tracks was poured last Tuesday. Planned to open Friday, it says on here. Is that still correct?
Weather permitting now.
Weather permitting, probably. Yeah.
Testing passed on Tuesday to get on it and backfill. The ground was a little moist yesterday.
Okay, so, I mean, but it's close to. Gravel hauling as of August 7th on the fall delivery period. We had 7 townships left. So that's progressing good. That's it.
Go ahead, Jenny.
I have a question, Galen. Is the Homestead Road on the 1 and 6 year road, 1 and 6 year plan? Homestead Road to redo it?
I know it's in the 6 year. You mean for an overlay?
Yeah.
I believe it's in the 6 year for sure.
Okay.
And the rain that we had Monday brought out a number of complaints on that Homestead Road, how much water it was carrying right down the road. And it was very significant. I come into work right at 8 o'clock, and it was, you couldn't drive in the tracks.
I know there were people that called. One person told me she was calling the whole board to raise her opinion about that road that day and stuff, and I explained to her that we've had a lot of discussions. Now she says, well, that's not getting anything done. That was her comment. So
yes, I had the same phone call.
And I know I had that company out of Kansas too, and I never called them. And then John, have you had a chance?
I certainly can.
Go ahead and call them and get them up here so we can get an estimate on from the Rock Quarry North.
Yep.
See what that's going to cost them to basically regrind it and lay it back down and do that. We just will get a price on that type of project.
Yep.
And
remember,
that type of.
If you regrind in the base and you repave that, we fall out of that 3R classification, and we might have to shoulder, ditch, everything.
We might have to on that.
If we don't do a mill overlay, or a mill armor coat, or a mill and replace, if we don't do a maintenance project, if we fall out of that, Galen, that's called 3R, isn't it? The state standard that we can fall under for maintenance.
Yeah.
If we fall outside of that, if we actually mill and then go into base repairs, I think we fall outside of that, which means we have to widen the road.
So you think what this company out of Kansas does, the grinding and laying back down, that would make us fall outside of that?
I don't think it necessarily would. I think it would depend on the depth you remill.
It's my understanding
that
you can do a 2-inch mill and fill, or 2-inch mill and 2-inch overlay.
Which
anything exceeding that, I believe you, that throws you into that new 3R standards program.
Which they don't grind inches, they grind inches. I mean, it's not 2 inches, it's 8, 10, 12, 14.
They do mostly clear down into the almost the base.
Depends on what you want them to do.
Depends on the samples of the road, yes.
They can. Well, those are questions we'll have to ask them, but unless we get them up here and ask them those questions, we won't know either for sure.
Prior to budget going in, though, this last, not this rain, but the time before, I went out and looked at it and actually stopped and talked to John. It does get pretty bad. I mean, those in a big truck, you don't notice it, but in a car, or even a pickup or something, it's pretty rough.
Stop that.
With that much water in there. So, I mean, it really may be something we have to look at for a safety reason.
Anything else for Roden Bridge? If not, next agenda item is Paul Moyer with the Nebraska Department of Agriculture, or Weed Department review. And he did have a handout. I gave everybody a handout this morning. You should have on in front of you there with part of your report.
Right. Thank you.
Go ahead. So we have it on record who you are. Yeah.
Okay. My name is Paul Moyer. I work for the State of Nebraska Department of Agriculture, and specifically the APHP, which is Animal Plant Health Protection Division. So one of our many duties is to oversee the noxious weed programs for each county. And so the handout that I gave you is our method of quantifying how we feel your county is doing. And if you take a look at that score sheet, this you'll notice is for 2017. Okay, so this is for last year. So you'll get another report from me again next year in 19 for 2018. So we're always behind a year. So Before I get started, one thing I want to mention that I think that is maybe a misconception to a lot of board members, and that is when the state created the Noxious Weed Act, that act gave the county boards and a weed superintendent the enforcement authority excuse me, to control noxious weeds in the county. So what that means is the Department of Agriculture, specifically the weed division, the noxious weed division, we have no enforcement authority at all. That falls entirely at the county level. And I think many county boards and board members don't realize that I cannot enforce weed control. I don't do that. The only thing we do is to oversee the noxious weed programs. We help with training and some other things. And so not sure that's helpful, but just wanted to pass that along.
Sir, before you go any further, when you just started here, you said we make a recommendation. Who's the we? And is it you on this report?
This report is generated by the Department of Agriculture, the Noxious Weed Division. So that entails the, you know, everyone in administration that's involved.
Oh, everybody looks at it.
That's correct.
Okay.
This is available to everyone to look at. The evaluation comes in a couple of different methods. There is a computer-generated evaluation in part, and then part of the evaluation comes directly from my, you know, what I see is going on. So did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you'll notice that we have four categories that we look at, and at the bottom right-hand corner of the sheet, you'll see that there's a total possible points that can be achieved, and then there's your actual score to the left-hand side of that, and I'm going to explain how you've gotten that score and anything that can be done, you know, to improve, and again, what has been done. So now, if we start at the beginning with the inspections, we have surveys and follow-ups. Now, the surveys are generated by myself, and I'll take a look at a plat map. I have no idea who landowners are. I don't know, don't want to know, don't care. I'm only interested in what I see on the property that I select to survey. And again, those surveys are just random. I might just, you know, just close my eyes and just pick one. I might just pick one that I know I haven't been to in the last year or so. So again, I don't know who the landowners are, and I don't know, you know, where. I mean, I know where I'm going, but I don't know what's there. So that's how a survey is generated. We can do inspections by complaints. Sometimes landowners will call the state if they feel that they have a neighbor that is, you know, not controlling their noxious weeds. At that point, then I'll contact your weed superintendent and let them deal with the, you know, enforcement on that. So, and then we do follow-ups. And so you'll notice that on the surveys, you achieved the 500 points that's possible there. But the follow-ups is where there, you know, has been, you know, some, well, the points have been reduced basically to nothing there. And the reason for that is because when we find an infestation, we're looking for that infestation to be, you know, eradicated or cleaned up. And if that file remains open for, you know, a year or 2 years or even three or maybe even beyond, those points will start to be taken away from you because those infestations haven't been cleaned up. Now, with that said, remember this is for 2017, and so some of these open files that the county has have been closed, so I think we'll see some improvement in score next year. Okay, so with that said, we're seeing some improvement in your county and in the score. So I wouldn't feel too bad about that, and I know that you know, based on what I've been seeing, that some of these are being controlled, so that's good. So the next category is the office evaluation, and that's where I sit down with the weed superintendent. We go through all of the paperwork that's involved with the program and the requirements, and there's a long list of things. I won't get into that. I know you folks are short on time. So, but I just tell you that you received all the points possible there. You received 1,000 out of 1,000, so that's good. The next category is the county reports, which all of you should have seen and signed off on. And there's five of those. There's a roster, which gives me the information about you folks and how I can contact you if necessary. The budget, how much money you put into your weed control plan. The activity report, what you've actually done for the year. The infestation report, which lets me know how many acres are actually infested in your county. So one thing I'd like to mention is that I have a large territory. I have 32 counties, so I can't possibly take a look at everything, so I have to rely on your county weed superintendent to provide that information to the state, to myself. If I were to try to determine that on my own, I would spend my entire career in one county, likely. Not necessarily this county, but I just don't have the time available to me to do that. So,
well, and then what's this mean when it says activity 200 and then infestation 250? How do you get 250 if you've only looked at 200?
That's just a score. So what that means is we haven't looked at 200 areas. That's just a score given to that report. Does that make sense? So,
no.
So what you have is these reports are written by your weed superintendent. They're mailed to Lincoln, and then they're evaluated. And so it's just like if you got a 100% on a test, you get an A, okay? So that's kind of what we're doing here is we're scoring that report in a fashion that out of all those reports combined, if you've met the minimum requirement, you'll receive 1,000 points, which means that you've done everything required. And so if you receive something less than that on an individual report, that will indicate that maybe there's something that needs to be worked on. So those aren't numbers of inspections. That's actually just a score. Does that make sense to you? I'm not sure you're not nodding. So, but at any rate, again, it's just a score. It's a grade.
It's basically how you're evaluating.
Right. It's how we quantify how well you've
done. In the county and what Becky is doing.
So out of the 1,000 points that it's possible to achieve on the reports, you received 970, which is pretty good. There might be a couple of minor things that the weed superintendent could improve on, but pretty good, really, overall. And then the last category is the continuing education, which is a requirement of the Noxious Weed Act. And the reason for that is we've got new weeds coming in all the time. We've got chemicals changing all the time. And so we need to keep the weed superintendents up to date with what's happening so they know what to spray, when to spray, you know, how to spray it, et cetera. And, again, the weed superintendent, Becky, is doing, meeting that requirement. So you can see at the bottom the total score for the county is 2,870 out of a possible 3,400 points. And I'll let you know that is an increase from 2016, which was 2558. So we saw a nice increase. Part of that was due to the fact that, I think the weed superintendent was new and hadn't received all of her certifications, part of the requirements, and she has all of those now. And so, again, I think the main thing that if I could stress anything for any county, not just this county, but any county, is to support your weed superintendent as much as you possibly can. This is a subject that a lot of people don't know much about, and it can affect all taxpayers significantly in many ways. And there's a significant economic impact to the taxpayers if these weeds are not controlled. So, one of the things we talked about prior to the meeting starting, I talked with Myron about some Phragmites, and that's a real prolific weed coming in. We're seeing it all over. And oftentimes, and not only that, there's a lot of others. There's 12 noxious weeds on the noxious weed list. And you know, people oftentimes say, well, it's not bothering me if it's there. It's not hurting me any, and it may not be bothering you too much on your own property. But what happens is when these weeds become, you know, more larger and larger infestations and scattered more and more, we become, the seed source for everybody else, you know. And so these seeds travel water, wind, birds, and it's extremely important that we try to stop the spread of these noxious weeds. So that's all I have. If you have any questions of me, I'd be glad to answer them.
Is there any funding you guys provide for the weed program?
There is grant money available that's been already been let this year. So it was just short of $500,000 that was provided by the Nebraska Department of Agriculture. And so there's money that is available from the Environmental Trust and a lot of other places. And so if your superintendent is active in a weed management area, some of that money can come back to your county to help control some of these weeds.
The Five Rivers RCND based out of Tecumseh, but which Gates County is actually a part of. I go to those meetings or whatever. They're actually having a all-day meeting tomorrow up at Syracuse.
I think
on
it's today.
I thought it was 16th.
Possibly.
I don't know. I heard it advertised on 99.5 several times in the last few days. I thought it was Thursday. It's either way. And there have been a couple people in Gage County that have gotten the grants for that, and they help in this area down here in southeast Nebraska. And there's been a couple people in Gage County that have been approved for part of that grant also to help with the noxious weeds.
Sure.
And everything. So I know they're doing it, working hard on that pretty good. And like I said, I think it's from 8:30 to 2:30 or something. They have some people from the university and other things and coming down to speak on that again, the noxious weeds. So.
Right. Good program and lots of information.
Yeah, lots of information at that. And then they go over how they can apply for the grants and how they can get cost sharing and everything. And I know, I believe last year there was more requests for the cost sharing than what they had. So people are using that program.
They are.
Yes.
They are. And unfortunately, the money that's being provided is, it's fantastic. It's probably not enough. We could always use more. The weed management areas could use more because these weeds are coming in faster than we can control them. But, it's a fabulous thing that there is grant money available. So,
John?
Which of these noxious weeds are still kind of in the early stages of infesting the county that have the most potential to really cause a lot of harm for the county and the landowners?
For Gage County specifically? It's hard to, say exactly. I think the Phragmites is probably coming on as strong as any.
Mm-hmm.
Leafy spurge is one that can be carried up and down the roadsides and spread, with grader, road graders and heavy equipment. And so, again, typically on the roadsides, it's not really a huge problem, but it becomes a seed source for everyone else. If you mow it and you're carrying seeds from one location to the next, as soon as that gets into a pasture, it can take a pasture over if you're not diligent about keeping it cleaned up. And that one's hard to get rid of. I mean, it's almost impossible to get rid of if you've got a stand that's been there for a number of years. The root system on leafy spurge can go down as far as 20, 25 feet. So you can kill the top, but it'll come back typically. So,
and I guess in places I see serratia out there that will take over a good pasture,
It will. That's another one that'll take over if you're not diligent about keeping it cleaned up.
You mentioned 12 noxious weeds. What are they?
Oh, boy, now you're going to...
Well, that's all right then.
Let's see.
It's the hard one.
I think I can get them all probably. We've got musk thistle,
yep.
Canada thistle, plumeless thistle. We have two different knotweeds, Japanese and giant. We have Sri Celespedeza, Phragmites, leafy spurge, purple loosestrife. There's nine. What am I missing? You guys gave me a quiz today. let's see, what have I forgotten here? There's two knotweeds. Excuse me.
You got two
knapweeds. There's two knapweeds. I already said knotweeds. There's two knapweeds. So that's 11.
You're close enough.
I got one more, but anyway, so
I think
you want to help him on the 12th?
What's the 12th one?
I was trying to write them down too.
So
I think the 12th one is Teasel, which is really taking over the roadsides to the east of us.
Actually, Teasel is.
Or is it just potentially going to be a noxious weed?
Well, it's not a state noxious weed yet. It's one that's coming in strong, and there are some counties that have made it a county noxious weed, which you could do if you wish. What you have to do is petition the state to add that to the county's noxious weed list, and it doesn't mean it's a state noxious weed, but it does mean that if you add that to your county noxious weed list, it's you know, needs to be controlled just like a state noxious weed.
How come this is coming in all of a sudden? Where is it coming from?
Well, a lot of it's coming in from probably the southeast. You see a lot of it. You know, I hate to pick on states, but you see a lot of it in Missouri, Kansas coming in. A lot of it will come in on equipment if they're mowing. You'll see, it's hard to say, birds, wind, water, you know, just normal environmental reasons. And once it gets started, it's you can control it, but if you know, that's a good reason to keep your eye on the noxious weeds and what's happening. And that's part of what we do in our training. We look at, we've probably got 100 different weeds on our watch list. We keep our eye on what's coming in and where it's coming from and how to control it. And so it hasn't made the state noxious weed list yet. It could, at some point, but it hasn't yet. And there's a bunch of others too. But that one is going to be a tough one if it really gets a hold. And in some counties, it has. Pawnee County's made it a county noxious weed. Lancaster County has, I think maybe Seward County has made it a county noxious weed. So counties are recognizing that it's a problem. And you have landowners that are finding it, that they don't want it, so they're petitioning the county board to add it to their noxious weed list. So.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Thank
Any
you
more
very
questions?
Much.
This is a voluntary program for all counties, though, right? There's nothing that says we need to have a weed program?
No, absolutely not. It is a state law that you must have a weed program. Okay.
We're required to have a weed superintendent. We're required to have this program.
You are required to have a weed program. Yep.
Really?
So.
Because we were... I know before Becky, there was a period of time where we really didn't have one, and I know they, when that was when Matt and I, between us, me coming chairman and Matt was or something, and they sent us some letters that we're required to have that and stuff. So, and we thank Becky for what she's doing because she's gotten on top of it more than we'd basically letting it fall down quite a bit.
Yep. Some great improvements have been made. Yep. And just a side note, that Becky's doing a good, great job. So seeing some great things happening. Yep. And again, just support her in every way you can when it comes to the weed world. And I know she's got another position, but it's really important. So
yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. entertain a motion to put Paul's report, the weed report, on file.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Hill. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Excuse me. 6-0 in favor. Thank you, Paul.
You ready?
Not yeah, Galen. Ready.
Myron? I think Galen's ready.
Oh, okay. Yep. You ready?
Went over all the figures on the bids and metal culverts. Was the lowest bid of $149,655.50.
So you recommend we go metal to accept metal culverts out of Missouri, I believe it was.
Yes.
Entertain a motion for that.
I would recommend that we would accept the bid of metal culverts in the amount of $149,655.50. As our supplier on the culverts. Time frames, so they're all about the same as far as completion dates.
They add up to 12 weeks to
and they all met
completion.
That. Okay.
Motion by Jergen, second by Tiemann. You said 12 weeks. They have 12 weeks to deliver them, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's in the contract.
Up to 12 weeks.
and you'll be visiting with them in case they can get some here sooner so you can start working on them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Canada.
Next, I think we're ready for Patty. It says, receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2018.
Pass them down.
2018, yeah. This is just my worksheet, so it's just penciled out of what it was from last year to this year.
And Patty handed out earlier the, I call it the longer sheet to everybody, what evaluations for Gage County and other subdivisions for 2018 are. And she also handed out a copy of what a year ago, what our evaluations were.
Basically, when you guys are going to look at those are just worksheets that I've given you that so that can tell you like your political subdivision and then what personal property was in 18 to 17. Centrally assessed, rural, urban.
What centrally assessed mean?
That would be your ones that are coming from the state. They come to us on August 10th. Those are your pipelines, your telephones, your railroads, all the ones that they do. And then we have to plug them into what districts they go across. So,
Patty, what I see on that, the biggest change that I see is personal property, and it all makes sense. I mean, most of that is probably farm-generated, I would guess.
Any commercial.
Like but, I mean, a large share would be farm, I would guess. Equipment.
Yeah, Coke Nitrogen has a huge one.
Right.
E-Energy Adams would have a huge one. Because they are a TIF project. TIF does not, the real property does not get on here, but any personal property would.
Well, both of those are expanding, so I can see that going up. But I'll bet you a large share, if you looked at just ag purchases, that went this way pretty.
Now, you know what?
Hard.
Though Bob said he heard on the radio that sales were good on equipment this year, which I find hard to believe in this area because I didn't know that it looked to us that things that really went down.
If you look at this area, I don't know about any place else, but if you talk to any implement dealer that I work with, sales are way down.
I know. I would thought that, too. So it depends if they, you know, if they look statewide or if they look, I don't know how they do some of what he had heard, but I would think your combines, your tractors and things like that would have went down in the down, unless, I don't know. I don't know what his, you know, he just said that they said they had a record year, but I don't know what that. I don't know. So your, like all your industrial park, those would be on there, commercial businesses. Farming is one of the bigger ones, but every year your stuff depreciates out too. So that's why, so to me it looks like somebody didn't buy some stuff or things are down.
Well, we went from $241 million to $210 million. So a decrease of $31 million in personal property.
Yep.
Plus that would have some depreciation factors, too.
Yes.
So, but I know the big one, I think, was Coke at one time and then the ethanol plant. So these are just my worksheets, those penciled figures, so that gives you an idea of how we break everything down. And then the long sheet is my valuation, so.
The value attributed to growth, that's all new purchases or expansions?
No.
Or how is that figured?
Growth is only when you put a new structure up. So if you tear something down or if you say I've raised a value, so it's only new construction, new garage, new house. That's the only thing that's growth we have throughout the county.
but we had more real estate growth. RE is real estate growth? No. Down there in the bottom of your sheets. What's RE growth?
That's real estate growth.
Real estate growth as in buildings?
Yes. And the centrally assessed growth, we didn't have anything for 2018. As far as, okay, the centrally assessed includes, it gets complicated, real and personal come out from the state. So then we take our personal and add on to see and if the value of the personal in each tax district is lower, we didn't end up with growth on the centrally assessed or the, because there's only one portion of the centrally assessed you can use.
And real estate would include acreages?
Basically anything new construction.
And you see that?
Anything new. But we had
anything added on?
Yeah, we had $22,500,000 for the tax year 2018. I mean, in new.
That's big growth. That's big.
Well, the year before was $18 million, so we had an increase.
It's been about steady. The only thing is, the centrally assessed growth was a lot more last year. They've talked about taking growth away, and I don't know how that affects, because that affects your budget, the way you... How do you use it in your budget?
I have to put it in under my LID support information on the growth, but it didn't make any difference for us this year. So.
They've talked about taking... I don't know how that figure really works in the whole scheme of things, but... Well, for my purposes, we figure it in. So when we add a new building on, we take that real estate transaction, we put it that's growth in that school district or that fire district. And after you get to the point of approving this, I have a question, too, that we forgot to talk about in equalization. I don't know if I can bring that up, but what do you want me to set those levies at? Fires and townships.
Patty, it happened. It happened, you know, the last few years. We've talked about it. There's an individual that, as far as irrigated acres, where the water came from and everything, we said we would look into it. When did we start that process? Because I think it's unfair the way it's been done
now. I go to a workshop next week, and I can tell you that's been brought up in the past.
Okay.
But nothing got done, just kind of like in the legislature. Yeah. Nothing gets done. Everything gets talked about.
I mean, is that something we can personally look at and change?
Well.
Yes.
I would say no. I would say we have to be consistent across county lines.
Otherwise, they'll pull the review up.
When you have these meetings, I would appreciate if you'd bring that up to the proper source and have those look at it, because I can see this year we had rain, but I can see the problems won't rise when you have an irrigated farm and your water source is limited, but you're getting taxed for full irrigation.
Yeah. And what I would recommend is to have Lloyd come talk to you at some point as an appraiser and explain to you. They have something in their even fee appraiser, like if it floods 3 or 5 years or if it, you know, he has some knowledge of what values do and how he looks at things.
But we can't use that, can we? I mean,
the problem you're going to run into is you got to have equalization going across county lines so school districts and everything are equalized.
Yeah.
Because when I don't have enough sales, or you get up into Sarpy County and some of those, and they don't have a lot of farm ground, they borrow sales from other counties to determine their ag land values. So, and we in the past, you know, because we don't have a lot of sales coming through right now, before we were, 3 years ago, we had a lot of sales. Now we don't have very many sales coming through. I don't even believe I had very many irrigated sales last year. So, and that's kind of getting off of what you're asking, because you want, and I do give a 15% reduction, and I did I did call some of the assessors. Most of those are not given by other counties.
If I'd have to guess the irrigated land that's valued out there, 10% or less is coming from a pond or a river or a stream like that. It'd be less than 10%. I'm guessing. I don't know that.
I'd say less than a quarter, but...
No, it'd be less.
I'm just asking, though, so...
You go up in that area.
The 15% reduction that you give you came up with that and we did it ourselves?
That's been on our books for a long time.
But we did that. We didn't wait for the state to do it?
No. I mean, basically, we made a class, and what we determined, you have to have some, what I'm going to say is, if somebody would challenge me, take me to Turk, and those other assessors would say, I don't think Gage County's doing it right, took those parcels to Turk, it could be a toss-up. What Lloyd and I determined, even with the reductions that were put on from years ago, was it's somewhere between dry and irrigated. But that's what I give the 15% reduction isn't necessary for low water supply. It's from coming from across the road. You know, when Doug...
That's still a steady water supply.
Could be.
Huh?
Could be. Good water supply across the road.
But what Lloyd's argument will be is when he sells it, he can only sell it as a dry line quarter. So that's where we... Mm-hmm. We still left that 15% off, and I wasn't the assessor that, but I didn't take it off. And so I've had people be a little critical of me on the assessor side of it because a lot of them, in my opinion, most of them that I know don't do that.
In future meetings that you would have, address that subject with other people.
I will. And I had an irrigated farm came in yesterday. It wasn't very many acres. It was 5,800 an acre. Irrigated. So, I don't know exactly. I didn't write down. So, we're down quite a bit on that. So, I don't even know where dryland is right now. Probably in the fours. And the grass, which...
There's been just as many sales now bringing in the threes as in the fours anymore in dryland.
Right. Yeah. And then grass that used to be, when I first started here, was really like 600 to 1,000s. Some of them are 25 to 3. So it's kind of just they need to figure out something with agland, period. And I just don't know. But yeah, we'll talk about it next week at workshop.
Yep. And then give us an update on it after your workshop.
It'll be up to you to address that next year.
Yes. I know there's issues out there. I've talked to Patty a lot about the irrigation stuff and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I hear you correctly, though? You can make changes yourself, but someone else could challenge it?
It's something that 15% was established a long time ago, but you have to have a study and you have to have a plan. You can't...
I got one.
I know.
But you got a plan. You don't have
to... You got a plan, but let's put it on paper of how you came to those 50.
All right.
Does that make sense?
I'll come up with something for that.
Now, when you're in the assessor world or the appraisal world, you have a way of planning how you come up with the numbers, and they didn't come out of...
Right. Well, and Patty keeps bringing up, and it is a fact that any of that could have the possibility or will go in front of Turk. Now, Turk will, Patty can come up with a plan here, but if it goes in front of Turk, they can say yes or no.
And they know that I gave that 15% because you were at that when Doug and was. Did Norm have the same situation when we went?
No, Norm didn't, but Doug did, but not Norm. Norm was his house. Norm had a different irrigated farm that he thought should have been less value.
So that was...
Real estate law tells you how to do this, and you follow the law, you look, and it's comparison, comparison, comparison. And this real estate law tells Patty how to do this and reach value. It tells Lloyd how to do it.
And, you know, in the whole scheme of things, you can be 10% off of what the appraised value is or what the assessed value is. You can be a percentage off. And there is no exact science, but you still have to have figures when we study cells and break down a cell because you've got irrigated dry grass. So there's a formula where you take, okay, if somebody paid $10,000 an acre for this farm, the irrigated's the top group that they paid that for. Then you start to figure out kind of a formula of what did they probably pay for the dry, what did they probably pay for the grass. So it's a lot more complicated because of the different soil types on a parcel than what, you know. And in your own mind, you may have a figure that you got to have some good solid information to give you that.
Yeah.
And that's what my whole thing is. And that's kind of an appraisal report. And Lloyd is very good because he's worked in this county for years. Yeah. You know, some things I hear, and I don't want to get off track too fast, but the USDA, you know, went in and they changed all our soil types because we used to have tons. So there's people that says, well, this, we don't have CRA soils, or we don't have, and then the state determines for me if that CRA soil is a class one or class two, then there's discrepancies there. So
real briefly, what I remember, they took all the loyal, they lowered the classes down by about approximately half. They took all the lower class and bumped them up into the next grade of soil up, you know, instead of going the other way, they went this way, so.
So then your argument about the market areas are the class, where the lower market areas are ought to have three and four soils, and the better land ought to have one and two, so that it ought to take care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's complicated. I just, and you got to have a plan, but I will bring, you know, we've talked about it in the past.
Okay.
So.
We have on our agenda receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2018, and that would be this long sheet, correct? And this. This then, Patty, is the valuations that are set for.
Yeah.
This probably won't, the valuations here probably won't change. No.
I hope not.
Except when we have one of those tax slips or whatever.
Right.
That's the only way it changes.
It still doesn't change.
It doesn't change it
no,
for the year.
No, because
that
I
would
just
be...
take it to Lori and we do a correction.
Okay.
So.
Any more questions on this so that we can go ahead and approve this?
I would move to receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2018.
Second. Motion by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Any more discussion? Vote 6-0 in favor. And thank you, Patty, for getting us all of that to compare to.
I just have one more question. I'm at workshop next week. Your next meeting's at the end of the month, and I have to have a resolution ready for you. But can you give me an idea today of what I need to set?
Haven't done the second motion or the what she's talking about.
Yeah, it's right here on the agenda. The next one on the agenda maybe answers your question. I don't know.
Okay, I must have
received. Receive preliminary request for levy allocation to county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Agriculture Society.
We did keep, and that's where the Historical Society and Ag Society would be.
So that's the same. Historical Society, Ag Society.
That has not changed. By
and then fires and townships.
There's not going to be any change on anything else as far as...
That
yeah,
goes off. Now we're talking this sheet, or where do we get these numbers
with,
from?
Well, we're talking whether you're going to stay with the 3 cents on the fire. And the
okay.
That's what she has to
know. Okay, that's what she has to know. That's what this preliminary request for is.
Yes.
So my workshop's all next week, so when I work on them, I want to try to get started on them tomorrow.
We're just receiving preliminary requests, so that doesn't mean anything beyond receiving those.
Well, it's 10 o'clock. Maybe we should go into closed session and come out and discuss this.
We receive them, and we have to notify them by September 1 if you have what your intent is or what you're going to do with the 3 cents, the 7.5 cents, or whatever. That's
we can receive these here now. When we go into closed session, when we come out, we're going to have an open session in a way as far as budget and stuff like that. At that time, we can discuss that. All we are here right here is receiving the request.
Preliminary.
We're not setting that request.
True.
Just receiving it.
Good point. Okay. Entertain a motion to receive the preliminary request for levy allocations to county board from townships, rural fire district, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Agriculture Society.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Juergens. Vote. And we are going to be having a discussion with the individuals back there in closed session. Oh, 6-0. The vote was 6-0. Sorry. Once we get done with this, we'll be going in closed session and have some more discussion with them. And then afterwards, we will definitely have an open session where we will have some budget discussion and have some comments. Next up, approve or disapprove the sub-award agreement between the Gage County and Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Service Child Support Enforcement Program, amending and having chairman sign agreement and audit requirement certification. The purpose of the current agreement is to account for the work of the clerk of the district court as it relates to child support enforcement. The amendment is effective 10-1-2018 through 9-30 of 2018.
19.
Somebody want to make that motion to approve?
2019.
Or 2019. Sorry, I said the wrong number.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Lytle. I will make the comment already that Diane has already been in contact with them, and I have at home on my computer DocuSign, like we did earlier, ready, waiting for this approval so that I can go ahead and sign it. So.
It's basically just the flip side of what you approved last time with our offices. It allows a reimbursement of some of the expenses for our child support enforcement officer.
And
the clerk and
yep.
the clerks.
And as in the one we had here about 2 weeks ago or a month ago, the state does not accept a signature here at this meeting. They now are going through a DocuSign.
Save the paper is what yep. I was told, and get rid of your dinosaur attitude.
So yeah, because when we approved the one here a couple weeks ago or a month ago or whatever, we thought that signature was good enough. We mailed it up there. It wasn't. We had to do a DocuSign and this one here also. So any more discussion?
This program is fantastic. It's good. And Roger will say that, too, in the enforcement. What that saves this county in money in helping these families because they wouldn't get anything is incredible. So I'm totally in support of this.
Vote 6-0 in favor. We put the next item on the agenda, and I'm glad Dave's still here. Discuss and approve or disapprove consulting agreement between Gage County and Skyline Roofing pertaining to the roof on the jail facility. And Dave, talk a little bit about the issues we've had over there, because Roger has some comments about whether or not we can let them do this then.
Okay. We brought this up earlier at probably the last board meeting or so. We did have hail damage at one time on the roof of the detention center. This is a Duralast roof. And what happens when it did damage it, it doesn't show up right away. This might have been a year or two ago, he told me. And through the freeze-thaw cycles, it will create this, just this small mark actually let in a lot of water into the building. So this is an agreement to let Skyline Roofing consult directly with the insurance company to tell them what's going on. What Skyline's concern is, and now it's my concern, is if these do start appearing, that he doesn't want to come in and just start putting small patches everywhere. He would like to talk to the insurance company and show him why, you know, either a larger area or the complete roof should be replaced. This is a Duralast roof, so the only people that can repair this are licensed Duralast people. So, and I do have a copy of...
We have that, Dave.
I made a copy for him.
Okay. Yep, we've got it, all of that. But Roger has comments.
Yeah,
Roger, why we put it on here was to have that.
Has our insurance carrier looked at the roof?
He has not yet.
Okay.
He came down and he replaced just two small areas so far.
And just as a general nature, if you're going to hire this guy as a consultant, I just suggest you look at the cost. Because as I read the contract, it's a 20% contingent fee arrangement.
Which is somewhat if someone else.
He's starting to look like a lawyer, and that's off the record.
The 20% is if we were to allow somebody else to do the work, if he does
right.
the work.
Well, and again, you have no idea, nor would I or anybody on the board, as to the cost of that damage up there.
Right.
If it's over a bid amount, we got to bid that. Now, I have no idea, and I'm not even going to hazard a guess, but I think we need to find that out before we cut somebody loose, that all of a sudden we're binding ourselves to him negotiating with an insurance company, and if he comes back with whatever number, he gets 20% of it if we choose to go with somebody else.
Right.
And I'm not criticizing you at all, Dave, but I think the world of you and the work you do. I'm just saying this gets really interesting with our competitive bidding requirements under state law.
Right, and I understand.
So, again, if we need a consultant, as opposed to, you know, and again, that's not something that you can look at it like it's asbestos shingles and say, okay, that's we got some damage up there. I understand that, but maybe we need to look at who the board wants to look at as far as a consultant after we talk to our insurance carrier, because he may say, yeah, roof shot.
And I would totally agree. We need to talk to our insurance carrier first. And I mean, if we accept this, I mean, we've basically ended our competitive bidding because he's got a 20% advantage. And we've only got one person bidding for it.
That's just...
Yeah,
it's
I understand
up to the board,
that.
I, my two cents. I'm just concerned about the competitive bidding. And without knowing the number, maybe it's only $2,000 or $3,000. I have no idea.
That's but. Where, yeah, we don't know. I mean, if it is repairable, they would be the ones that could do the repair work. But if it is totaled and we need a whole new roof, then you get into the bidding process. So, okay.
Well, and if we don't like the decision the insurance company reaches, then we may need to reach out to somebody to do this type of
consulting.
But right now, without what Roger's point is, without knowing or having heard from the insurance company, if they're going to do something or not or cover anything, we probably should do that first. So, well, is it okay if you go ahead and contact them, you and Don, and have somebody down and let us get back to us?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda to discuss the 2018-2019 county budget.
As far as putting things together, I guess we're still in the same boat where we're looking at increasing revenues through taxes, how things can be worked around to pay a judgment, and still operate. The one that I think we should probably consider adding that's not there right now that would be a substantial expense is potentially fixing those first few miles between 136 and the quarry. At least keep that in mind. That'd be something for Road and Bridge to look into. But there may be an...
I got a question for Galen then. If that's on the six-year plan, can we... In the next fiscal year, can we do that without moving that? Do we have to go to the state to move that to the one-year plan if we decided to do something on that road?
We should move it up to the one-year.
We should. We would have to start that process, too, to get it moved up to the one-year.
Yeah, if you want to do it, you should move it to the one-year.
I mean, it's something to think about.
It's kind of an emergency situation in a way, too. So if you want to
okay.
There's also an asphalt plant sitting in county. Which, I mean, could potentially help prices, maybe not. The asphalt being laid in Beatrice right now is coming out of Waverly, so it's not a do or die, but there's just some safety concerns. John's never noticed that road, I know, but it is starting to get rough.
I've never complained either.
No, and I think we've had a lot of discussions about that road.
Yes,
I will say this, although we haven't gotten to the point where we've done anything, and maybe some phone calls sometimes do that. And either John or I will get a hold of that company out of Kansas. They just will come up here too and let us know and let us know if that can meet the standards or if we all of a sudden have to do a whole new process or whatever by their process. So without getting the word from him, because if he can tell us he can do it and still meet the standards, then that's an option to look at. So
something again, the state always helping us. What if we just do it and we don't get the state involved? We just say, here's a problem, we're going to go through and fix it, not move it to the 1 year, not register it with the state. We just do it and we're done.
I mean, with all the money from your
Yeah.
So they hold the purse strings again.
The other funds. They can withhold other funds.
Money.
But unless you know a construction company in the county that might be able to do that, and then we won't have to pay them.
Contribute.
Yeah.
I know it could be done. This is how quiet we've been.
Okay. And we will have some more discussion on once we visit with our two attorneys back here. We will have some more discussion on the budget, and we will have comments from them also after our closed session. We are at the point in the agenda, though, where we have a closed session scheduled for litigation update. It's necessary. I will entertain the motion. Anything else before going to closed session? Anything else you wanted on finance? I entertain at 10:15 on the clock a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Beyer, seconded by Lytle Boat. 6-0 in favor. Entertain a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Entertain a motion at 11:57 on the clock to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Beyer, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Jim?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim. For the record, my name is James Overkish. I'm from the law firm of Woods and Aiken. Today, just if you are not a commissioner in the room, Steve Likes is sitting behind me. He's an attorney from the law firm of Kutak Rock. I wanted to provide some information to the board today in regards to the payment of the judgment that was entered in federal district court. As you know, there's been a process board of a petition for certiorari is being filed, and the board's moving forward with that process, and the litigation council's handling that as well. What we want to report to you today is as a parallel path to that process before the United States Supreme Court. If that's not successful in terms of paying, how the judgment could potentially be paid. As you would expect, there are two ways to pay the judgment, either in periodic payments or in a lump sum payment in our research. Under periodic payments, we believe the process would happen is that the county during their normal budgeting process would raise funds on a yearly basis and pay them to the plaintiffs on a yearly basis. Once that payment's been made, we'd expect that the plaintiffs would file a partial satisfactory judgment with the court. From a mechanism standpoint, I'd expect that you could work out with the plaintiffs to pay, I'll say, one of the plaintiffs' attorney, and it would be dispersed out to all the plaintiffs on some type of a proportional basis, probably based upon their judgment amount. Just like with your other tax receipts, you primarily receive it approximately May 1st and September 1st. Payments would be made after those time periods through the normal county process. That's the only way that we see in the sense of a periodic payment plan would work. In terms of paying things on a lump sum basis, and when I mean lump sum, paying the entire amount at one time, I think there are three potential theoretical avenues for you to do that. One is that the county could issue bonds to pay it, but that would require a vote of the taxpayers, approval of the taxpayers to issue those bonds. My general opinion would be that that wouldn't be feasible in terms of receiving an affirmative vote from the taxpayers. The second way would be for the state to pay the judgment outright through some type of an appropriation. And the third would have to pay the judgment outright with some type of a loan from the state, which would be needed. You'd need some type of a change in state law for that. I would draw the board's attention to last session. There was a bill that was actually introduced in 2017 labeled LB 353, which was a statute that would change the process to make loans. Currently, it applies to states' Tort Claims Act judgments. You could make it apply to some other type of judgment as well, including the judgment that we're discussing today. So in terms of a lump sum process or a periodic payment on lump sum, really three items, either issue bonds that's approved by a vote, some type of a payment or appropriation from the state, or a state change in law from the state that would allow a loan from the state under, I'll use the term, an LB 353 type of concept. I want to give you that information in terms of how a judgment may be able to be paid theoretically. Now, if you have any questions for me today.
Well, we did visit with both you and Steve in closed session. We also had the two individuals from Columbia Capital. We did talk to them on speakerphone in closed session about some financial information that they were able to contribute. Part of what we asked Jim today was to make comments about what we are looking at or a solution or possible solutions that we could have with this. Now, as we go forward, this will be part of our budget process and how we incorporate it into our budget in the next 2 weeks to 4 weeks. We have tentatively set a public hearing on our budget for September the 12th. At that meeting, we will have our public hearing, and then we also will need to approve that to get everything done so that we can have our budget up to the state by September 20th, which is the date it has to be up there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. Thank you, Steve and Jim, for your help and your time. We will in the next couple weeks, I guess, we will have more discussion on the budget, what room we have available in the budget for this levy-wise. We are limited by the 50-cent levy and how our budget will shape up. I know Eric and them have been visiting about this, what to do with our current budget. We have some proposals back that have come back with some, they would be an increase in our budget. We're discussing that. We're discussing where to go with those funds and how we're going to operate in the next fiscal year. In the next 2 weeks here, and we'll probably have more discussion at our next committee meeting, and then also our meeting on the August 29th, that is when we will need to set our numbers and set our amounts so that we can advertise that in time for a public hearing on September 12th.
And in our preliminaries, we'll have a resolution for the townships and rural fires and all that will be set next.
Yeah. And on the 29th, we will have our fire department and those. We will have to set those at that time so that they can be part of our budget. But we will also have to have our budget pretty much finalized so that, because as Donna said before, when we advertise that budget, those numbers will be out there. So when we publicly advertise our budget, those numbers will be out there so that when people want to, or if they come to our public hearing on the 12th, those numbers will all be out there in the public. They will all be known to them ahead of time. We do not have, numbers close enough down to where we want to be to make those discussions today or put those out there yet or whatever. So,
yeah.
Any other comments from anybody else? Or
could we have a quick closed session to talk about a budget item?
We could here after a minute, but I don't want to. I mean, if there's the so we end the part of our public meeting today. If there's comments or whatever, I guess what else do you see in the budget? Or
this would just be for some direction prior to the next meeting.
Okay. We do have one more thing for yes. Thank you, Roger.
That's all right. I apologize for not having this on the agenda. It's an emergency item. As you are, may be aware, on the Holtmeyer Brothers special use permit, we got a decision from the district judge in which she basically said the Holtmeyer's petition was granted and the special permit, which is 2017-1, is approved. What I need from you, and we've had a brief discussion in closed session regarding this, is whether or not you wish the county to perfect an appeal of the judge's decision.
I need a motion, Roger?
I need a motion to either authorize an appeal of that decision or not to appeal the decision.
I'll make a motion not to appeal the decision. Leave it as is.
Second.
We have a motion by Juergens and a second by Thiemann, and this is the Holtmeyer permit. Roger told us that we had to decide at this meeting if we were going to appeal it, we had to have a vote at this meeting.
Yeah, and I need to file a notice of appeal if we're going to pursue
it. Yeah, we had to do it now to have it done in the time that the courts require or whatever. So that's correct. Why I forgot that when we came out, and that's why. So we have a motion, we have a second. Any more discussion?
Well, and I guess my thoughts on it, you know, we have those seven criteria in there, and it doesn't seem like we're given any right to apply them, so I don't know why we're reviewing them to start with. But, you know, one of the things that seemed to be in this is that it was based on the number of protesters there. My thought wasn't based on the number of protesters. It was based on who I talked to. And there was less than 1 in 10 farmer when I showed that to him on the map that said it was an appropriate site for it. And, I mean, some of them wouldn't commit one way or the other, but most of them would say it's not appropriate site. So, obviously, I'm voting no.
Anyone else? If not,
vote is to not for the
yes.
appeal.
If you vote yes, it's your voting. The motion was not to appeal. So yes votes
yes.
would be that you're going to vote not to appeal it. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody ready to vote? Vote. Four in favor of not appealing Juergens, Dorn, Lytle, and Thiemann. Two voting against not appealing, which was Hill and Byers. Pass 4-2.
All right.
Not to appeal.
Thank you for taking that up. I appreciate the correction.
Okay. Anything else other than do you still want your closed session? Nope. Don't need it and stuff. So we will... next meeting we will have our budget and that will be on there and that we'll put that maybe a little earlier on the agenda. We'll see where we'll discuss it at committee meetings so that we get that done and set. So, anything else? If not, we will adjourn at 12:07 on the clock.